Last week, we were blessed to have the youth with us. Amen. I like having the youth with us for a lot of reasons. One of the reasons why I like having the youth with us is because our average age goes way down when they come in. Amen. That's kind of cool, right? Praise God. But I started to, we started 2 weeks ago, or actually 3 weeks ago, in Romans, and he says, don't love hypocritically. Remember this? And then I really like this passage because in that passage, he goes over real specifically what that means. Understand what your Bible is. Your Bible is revelation. Somebody say revelation. Of how to live your life. It is the instruction manual to you from the one who created you. Amen. So when everybody thought the earth was flat, you could have opened up your Bible and found out that it was round. Why? Because God knew it was round. Amen. Somebody say a sphere. You know what I mean? That is round, and that was terminology in the Old Testament. Amen. The military spent millions and millions of dollars to try to figure out what are the dimensions of a vessel that is most unable to capsize, the most buoyant. And guess what dimensions they came up with? The exact same dimensions as was given to by Noah. To Noah by God of the ark. Wow. Could have saved him a lot of money. Just turn to Genesis, you know what I mean? My point in just using these two examples is God knows. And there's nobody who knows you better. There's nobody who can instruct you better on where to go, what to say, how to say it. Just life will get way better. How many recognize your life gets better the more you, listen to me, the more you know of God's word, but not just knowing, but the more that you apply God's word? How many would raise your hand and say, that's absolutely true? Okay, so what I'm saying is, in this passage, like so many passages, it's very poignant to tell us how to behave. Amen? We read our Bible when?
Every day.
Somebody say every day.
Every day.
Okay, and I'm not looking. I'm not just telling me. Just tell me what somebody, everybody, as loud as you can, tell me what book we're in. Okay. Here's my point. We read our Bible every day was a lot louder than Luke. Pastor, what are you saying? I ain't saying anything. If the shoe fits, wear it, amen? I mean, don't get mad at me, you know what I mean? But let's get on the positive real quick. You know what? Today is the first day of the rest of your life, amen? So all I'm saying is... Luke, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Luke. Okay. So, but what I'm saying is that it's a lamp into your path. It's a light into your feet. It helps. And I'm so glad you're here today. But this passage is so helpful. And we're gonna go over it again today. So, Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, starting with verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. What's hypocrisy? Hypocrisy is believing something and with the behavior that doesn't follow. How many know if you really believe something, your behavior should follow? Hello? Matter of fact, in the Hebrew, in the Hebrew culture, you couldn't really separate belief from action. In other words, you couldn't say, in English we've separated it out to the most part because there's a lot of hypocrisy in our culture. But in the Hebrew, you couldn't really say, I believe that chair will hold me up without, let me just give you a word picture. You really couldn't say that. You'd have to do this. I believe this chair will hold me up. Do you catch what I'm saying? In the Hebrew, you can't really separate what you believe from your actions. Well, that should be true in the Christian culture too. That's what he's saying. Let love be without hypocrisy. Why? Because it shouldn't be, we shouldn't say we believe a bunch of stuff without following an action. As a matter of fact, I'll argue with you and really say, you know what you really believe? You really believe what you do. You really believe what you do. So, and this is so important that we understand. People think God is going to judge us. And Jesus himself said that that which is going to judge us is just the word. Is that not right? See? And God is a just God. He's like, oh, he's not, listen, when we get to heaven, why? Because he loves everyone. You know what I mean? That's right. You ever been around somebody you really don't like? Come on. How many know there's more likable people than other people? Like me, I'm a likable person, right? See, I'm setting you up. You better say amen to that. But I don't know if you think that. But what I'm saying is, we all could say there's some people real likable and some people less likable, right? Okay, so we won't say who, amen? Okay, I know you're not sitting next to the less likely people, okay, so, right? But all I'm saying is with God, he loves the most unlikable person you know. He's crazy about them. Does that make sense? He's just crazy in love with them. So it's not, as far as judgment, it's God's not like, well, you know what? The Teen Challenge people. Do me a favor. Make sure you make these young people feel just like, man, this is the greatest church in the world. Amen.
It is the greatest church in the world, but okay.
But no, I'm just be kind and friendly, and you know what I mean. But Carlos was outside talking to them to three or four of them, and when I came up, they said, "Man, we like this guy," and they were pointing to Carlos. "Man, we like this guy." Well, of course you do, amen. How many know Carlos is so likable? But God's not going to get up in heaven and go, you know what? Well, you know what, Carlos? I like you. And then go to somebody else. I don't really like you. You know what I mean? Why? Because that's not how he thinks. God really, really likes Carlos. And God really, really likes even the person that you know is hard to like. Because that's just how he is. God wants us to be the same way. But when you get to heaven, he's not like, man, Carlos, I like you so much. Come on in. That's not what he's doing. All God is doing in judgment day is just going to turn a light on. How many know the word is light? It's one of the things. All he's doing is turning the light on. How many know, I know you guys don't know this firsthand, but when you get pulled over from the cop, Pastor, how do you know that? Because I seen it on TV. That's only how I know that. But when you get pulled over from a cop, you know what they do? They shine this crazy light inside. And what are they doing? Because they want to see everything, man. Amen? No. They're not. They didn't plant nothing underneath your seat. They just saw what is underneath your seat. That's how God is. He not planting nothing on nobody. But the light will be turned on. And whoever you are serving, that's who he's going to say, oh, you want to be with that master, huh? Amen? All he's not going to judge anyone. All he's going to do is the only judgment he's making is to say, to see what's really going on. He's going to make some assessments. But the judgment he's going to be making is based only on what you are doing. Does that make sense? Amen. So he says, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. I don't know why this does this sometimes. Okay, let me just get out my Bible. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Somebody say giving preference to one another. Taught about that already. Not lagging in diligence. Not lagging in diligence. Not lagging in diligence. Okay. In 2019, here's all you have to do to make a difference. Whatever you're doing, do it Monday. And then do it Tuesday. And then do it Wednesday. And then do it Thursday. And then do it Friday. And then do it Saturday. And then do it Sunday. And then do it Monday. And then do it Tuesday. And do it Wednesday. And then do it Thursday and Friday. And at some point in time, you're going to look back and you're going to go, whoa, this stuff really works. Amen. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. Whether it's you're trying to lose some weight, all you have to do is just be consistent, you know what I mean, to whatever your plan is. I mean, there's all kinds of good plans. Okay, here's a good plan. Don't eat 3 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches at 12:30 at night. Well, anytime, that's true. But, you know, I was like, I don't know what happens to you. This happened to me, you know, about 11 o'clock at night, man. You know, all of a sudden, I just seem to have this pathway into the kitchen. You know what I mean? Right? All I'm saying is, if you just, and whatever it is, you know what I mean? If you're, for a lot of people, you know what? They're working. They want to get out of debt. Get out of debt. But you know what? Just make a decision that you're not gonna, you know, go shopping so much. Amen. Does this make sense? Or you want this good one, you want to draw closer to God, just start reading the Bible on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Thursday. You know what? David said, I've hidden my word in thy heart that I might not sin against thee. See, the word is an anchor. The world would just, the word, if you're putting it in, all of a sudden you start to think like God. Does that make sense? Why? Because you're transformed by the renewing of the mind. Amen? Well, Pastor, that church and that pastor, he's just brainwashing you. Praise God. My brain needs to be washed. Amen? Can somebody say amen to this? The Bible even uses that term. It says, talks about the washing of your mind by the word of God. Amen? That's exactly what you need. That's what I need. Amen? They're the ones who, it's crazy what's going on. Stuff that don't even, you'd think they could at least look and see at the outcome. Amen? I mean, yeah, you want to do, but can you see what's happening with your lawlessness towards the things of God? But you know what? They don't see it. Bible says God just eventually will just give them up to their corruptness. And even then, you know what he's giving them up to corruptness for? Because he's hoping they're gonna like the parable of the prodigal son. You know what? Hit their rock bottom and come to themselves. Amen. Why? Because God's will is that none perish. I'm just saying this deliver that God wants us preference. Blah, 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 blah. Not lagging in diligence. I don't know why this doesn't work. I do. You know what? It's like a plant. You ever buy a plant at Home Depot and it's big and beautiful? You're like, you carry it home. You're like, this is going to be so beautiful. Put it in your living room. You know what? 3 weeks later, it's all dead. You know what I mean? Well, might it have something to do with the fact that you didn't water it for 8 days? I'm just saying, amen. Or you watered it 8 days in a row. He's all drowning. Right? I'm not an underwater plant, you know what I mean? Okay. So being diligent, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Somebody say serving the Lord. But I want to come to verse 12. Rejoicing in hope. Somebody say rejoicing in hope. Okay. Rejoicing, showing great joy or delight. That's what rejoicing means. Showing great joy or delight. One of the things that the Holy Spirit has been speaking to me is there's got to be a way greater gratefulness. And I'm a pretty grateful person anyway, but the Holy Spirit is saying, you got to ramp up your gratefulness. Amen. You know what? You ramp up your gratefulness and you will start rejoicing in just, you know what? In all that God has done for you. Showing great joy. Somebody say great joy. See, rejoicing isn't showing joy. It's showing great joy. There's this exuberance. You know what I mean? You say, but Pastor, I'm not that way. Pastor, I'm not that way. All right. Well, get that way. Amen. Say, but I'm just quiet. I'm just, hey, listen. Call it what it is. Amen. Call it what it is. Become that. Make a change. You know, maybe God brought you here tonight and he's saying, you know what? I'll need you to be joyous. Here, you want me to can I give you just a hint on how to, you're like, oh, I'm just not joyous. I know, but can I show you how to get joyous? Yes. Just read a chapter in your Bible every day. Because I'm telling you what, it is hard to read your Bible every day that you don't just recognize God is good. And God is good to me. And life can be good. The Word of God is this, just this. The Bible calls God the God of all hope. And reading His Word is just like this infection. You know, some people take vitamin B shots. You know what I mean? And they're just vitamin B shots, and vitamin B just supposed to make you full of energy. How many know, you know, or these 1 hour energy drinks, you know what I mean? Ooh, or whatever, all this energy. Let me tell you what, you want a joy drink? You know what? Save the 1 hour energy and just read a chapter in your Bible every day. Because you can't read the Bible every day without this infection, this infection of hope. And that infection of hope will cause you to be optimistic. That optimism will cause joy in your life. And if you'll stay with it, you'll start to have great joy. Rejoicing in hope. Let's put those two together. Rejoicing in hope. So you have, watch this. So you have this great joy thinking that things are going to get better. See, that's what the Bible says is in the list of loving without hypocrisy. And this is our instruction of what to do. Amen? Well, I don't feel like doing it. See, we get so driven by how we feel. I love. I use it all the time. The line in Courageous, and the guy says, or what movie was it? No, it wasn't Courageous. I don't know what movie it is. It was a good Christian movie. What was the one about the couples? The guy was a fireman, and he fireproof. I love the line in Fireproof, and he says this. He says, "Don't follow your heart." Lead your heart. That is great. Amen. Why? Because we're so used to being led around by how I feel. You know what I mean? My own, you know what? If you, I learned this from Pastor Jack Hayford. And Jack Hayford said, before he has his feet hit the ground in the morning, he starts giving God praise. What's he doing? He's understanding, man, I can't get out of bed till I start leading my heart. How many had something, some bad, I mean, maybe it's because, you know, catastrophic, but some kind of, maybe less catastrophic, but some negative thing happened today. Some negative, you know, you ran over a tire or a cat or some negative. Some people would say that's not very negative, you know what I mean? But that's a different subject, you know. But how many, something negative happened today. Some, you know what? Okay. How many had something negative happen sometime this week? Okay. How many had something negative happen sometime this month? How many had something happen negative last year? See, we can, you know what? And those things are realities. And what we have a tendency is a lot of times is we remember what's bad. You know, I was hearing one study, and it said, you know what, it takes 8 compliments just to nullify 1 criticism. That's what I heard. That they did research, and they found out it took, you know what, just for you to get to neutral. You know what I mean? Right? But what the Bible calls us to do is to rejoice in hope. Well, you've got to be very intentional. You've got to be very intentional in leading your life. You can't just allow situations to blow you all over the place, you know, as far as, because there's negative things that happen to all of us. It's some really negative things. And for a lot of people, and even a lot of Christian people, you know what? They who live in an undisciplined life. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says to take every thought captive. Somebody say every thought captive. Every thought. Why? Because you know what the Bible says? The Bible says God hates those who sow seeds of discord. See, listen, don't let anyone, I love Pastor George, love Pastor George, because he shows a lot of maturity. Amen? He's a mature believer. You know what? One time he had somebody come up to him and listen, I don't compare the 6 o'clock service with the 9 o'clock service with the 11 o'clock service. That's ridiculous. We're one family. Amen? And somebody came up to Pastor George one time, and they said, Pastor George, you're just so anointed, and we just love, you know, here's what they said. They said, we love Esperanza better than the 9 or 11 o'clock service because you call people up front and you pray with people, and they don't in the early service. Just so you know, Pastor George didn't tell me who said that. Amen. But here's what I appreciate what he did. He said he got in their face. You know, Pastor George, kind of humble, mellow guy, but I appreciate him. He's a man of integrity. He'll in love get in your face and say, and he got in their face and said, you know what? Let me tell you what. Pastor Drew and Pastor Tamara have laid down their life for this church and this community. And you know what? We ain't even going there. I mean, sometimes, no, the sheep need to monitor the sheep. Yeah. Amen. Amen? And I appreciated him saying that. But the truth is, God is looking at our behavior. And he's looking at our attitude. And we have got to make a decision. We're going to be purposeful in not allowing people. Remember, I taught this, empty the trash. We can't allow those seeds of discord to come in and talk us out of what God said. I love that passage of scripture. It's in Romans chapter 3. And it says, you know what? Let God be true and every man a liar. You know, when people are going to tell you, well, I'll tell you what, it's not going to, you know, that again. You know, think about this. When Jesus got completely, we don't see Jesus. We see a couple times him, you know what, in a righteous indignation. But one of those times was when Peter was trying to convince him that what God had called him to do wasn't going to happen.
That's right. Come on.
See, sometimes Satan just comes with friends and neighbors, and they just kind of, you have, you know what, they just have a little squirt gun, and they just kind of squirt on your fire a little bit. When they do that, you need to slap that squirt gun out of their hands. Amen. I remember two guys out here, and they were gossiping. So how did you know they were gossiping? Because the Holy Spirit told me they were gossiping. Amen. And I knew they were gossiping. And it didn't take very long before both of those two weren't in our church anymore. Why? And I knew it was mainly the one guy talking to the other guy. But here's what I also knew. I also knew that, you know what, it takes two to tango. If you are the person that listens to the gossiper and you think you're not the gossiper, you are wrongamundo. Because, matter of fact, what I found is the gossipers find the gossipers. Amen? And it's interesting to me that, matter of fact, this gentleman came in my office one time and he said this. And he said, you know what? You know, Pastor Drew, your whole church gossips. You got all these people in your church gossiping. The Holy Spirit showed me later on that he thought that because so many of the gossipers went to him because he had listened to all of it. And it didn't take very long before both of those guys were out of this church. A church where I believe they were called. Why? Because you can't listen to that. You can't listen to seeds of discord that pretty soon, you know, you can't listen to somebody say, you know what, if you entertain that garbage, amen, if you entertain that garbage, well, I don't know why Pastor Drew, you know what, did you see Pastor Drew, you know what, I'm not saying that this is, you know, I'm not saying, you know, I love Pastor Drew, but I'm just saying, don't you think it's a little, I mean, he's trying to get a more casual look, you know what I mean? Don't you think it's a little, you know, I mean, come on, you know what I mean? He was wearing, you know what, these tennis shoes on Wednesday night, you know what I mean? Amen? You know? And it was, and they're Fila tennis shoes, you know what I mean? Fila, can you imagine that? Fila. What's up with that Fila? I don't, that's not even a Fila. What is that? It even sounds okay. And I'm making something silly up, but what I'm saying is, you know what? After a while, you know what? When you entertain that, see, understand what words are. Words, you know what, are powerful. The Bible says they're powerful, and you entertain that. What did Pastor George, because look, and Pastor George's not going to do this, but he's smart. Why did I tell Tamara when Tamara started to say something about Pastor Bradford? You know what? And that didn't get a lot out of her mouth. And I told her, shut up. Why? Because those seeds, I had to shut it up, amen? See, we think we can take that seeds of discord, but you can't. You weren't built for that, amen? Amen. And so when you entertain that, why? What, you want a scripture on it? I just quoted it. You are to take every thought captive. You know what that means? It means you're going to take that thought with the spear point and you're going to judge it quickly. And if it's not according to the word of God, you're going to kill it. You got to get rid of it. You got to throw it up. Have you ever been in bed and you're like, I don't feel good. Amen. Have you ever been like that? And you're like, this is kind of gross, but you're thinking, man, I really want to throw up. But you're in bed. You don't want to get out of bed. You know what I mean? And who wants to throw up? You know what I mean? So you stay there just thinking, it's going to get better. It's going to get better. It's going to get better. And then you're, so an hour and a half goes by and it ain't get better. And finally you get out of bed and you throw up. And as soon as you throw up, you're like, oh, that was gross. Flush it down the toilet. And you're like, oh, I'm going to go to bed now. You know what I mean? When somebody raised their hand and said, that's happened to me, Pastor. I said, okay, thank you for your honesty. Thank you for your honesty. Here's what I'm saying. Don't let that thought, you know, just, you ever see these badminton players? You know what I mean? You know what badminton is? And they just, boom, you know what I mean? Do you see these perfect, I mean, they're like serious, man. They're, you know, that thing's floating, but they're, boom. Right? That's what you ought to do to a seed of discord. That's what Pastor George did. He's like, don't say that about that. No, I'm boom, man. He's, you know, badminton. I'm where he's doing that. And he's doing two things. It's effective two ways. One, it doesn't get in his heart. And two, he's telling that person, can't do I got my. No. Amen? Do you understand what I'm saying? You start to put the word in. You start to hang around people that believe God. You start to listen to, I'm just, don't quote me on this, but you know what? Well, you could quote me on this. I would have a regular diet of Joyce Meyer.
Don't you think?
She's the bomb. And let me tell you why she's the bomb. She's the bomb because she slaps down pride continually. Pride is a big problem. I'm not saying that everything that Joyce Meyer say is perfect. I'm not saying that. But I am saying there's this constant maturity. And one thing I also appreciate about Joyce Meyer is Joyce Meyer is transparent. She'll tell you not only, you know what to do, but she'll be transparent to tell you of some of her struggles. I appreciate that. Okay. Jimmy Evans, one of the best teachers I've ever listened to. Okay. So, you know what? And I'm going to say this. And someone, why are you saying that? Because, here, I'm going to ask you. You can respond to this. What church are you called to? Come on, somebody say, what church are you called to? Okay, you're called to this church, so you ought to have a regular diet of Pastor Drew and Pastor Tamara. Why? Because you need to understand our DNA. Is this making sense to anybody? Okay. How many of you, I'm asking, how many of you have ever gotten on our website and listened to preaching from our website? Raise your hand if you've ever done. Oh, outstanding. So that is awesome. I appreciate that. That's awesome. Why? Because now you're letting the under shepherd who has been given to your life, you're letting him feed you. And I'm just going to sound so egotistical, but I don't mean it by that. But that is the main, the main way that you ought to be fed is you reading your Bible every day. Bill Hybels, who pastors a large church, or pastored a large church in Chicago, he had a staff member come in and said, "Hey, can I do an assessment on the congregation? I really want to kind of figure out where we are as far as our health." And you got to understand, it's easy in this large, large church. Their cafeteria, I went one time to Chicago, and they were building their new sanctuary. And I went and I looked at their cafeteria. Their cafeteria was the size of our whole church. North, south, sanctuary, it was huge. Just their cafeteria. They had a cafeteria, amen? I mean, it was nice, you know what I mean? So it's easy, you know what? They have multiple services. You know what? They got this amazing sanctuary. It's like our church is going to be. Get a good chance to say amen. It's like our church is going to be. Their stage is it's like our church is going to be. Their stage is half a circle. It's like our church is going to be. But on this side were these beautiful windows. And then on this side, beautiful windows. And you sitting there, and all behind the church is a pond. And they put all these ducks in the pond. Yeah, you're sitting there and you're being preached to and you get to watch these beautiful ducks just, you know what I mean? I mean, it's just awesome. Awesome. And they got thousands of people coming to the church. And what do you, of course the church is healthy. Of course the church is healthy. How many recognize your numbers are just one aspect of your health? Oh, it don't make any difference how big your church is. It does make a difference how big your church is, because we need to be effective in our community. Somebody, oh, it don't make any difference how big your church. Ridiculous. That's ridiculous. But how many know the numbers of your church are just one aspect of your health? One aspect of your health. How many know, you know what, the doctor just doesn't look at, how many know he looks at your weight? But how many know your weight is just one aspect of your health? Amen? How many know there's some real skinny people and they are totally unhealthy? Amen? You know, oh, you don't want, you don't just go, oh, you're skinny. Oh, great. You know, no, he checks all kinds of other stuff, right? Because it's just one aspect. Well, you know what? The staff person says, I want you, you know what? And he said, okay, you can do it, but do it on your time. Because I got a lot of other things that I assigned you to. He said, okay, I will. He did a study, you know what, and sectioned off the church, just like a scientific study of what the church was. He comes back, I don't know what it was, in 4 weeks, and says, hey, I did that study. I've got the numbers, and would you like to see it? And the pastor said, yeah, sure. He found out, although the overall income kept on going up and up and up and up and up, although the attendance kept on going up and up and up and up and up, you know what he found? He found the average person in the church, you know what, wasn't tithing. Like, I don't know, it was some crazy less than, I don't know, it was just a crazy number. You know, less than, you know what, 3% of the church was faithful in their tithe. It's crazy unhealthy. Then they found out almost nobody, they did these small groups, almost the same thing, you know what, 2% of the church were come to small groups. So something like 8% of the church was faithful to come every Sunday to church. And some crazy 4%, I don't know, it was just nuts how many people in the church only came once a month and called that their church and wasn't financially supporting the church. Pastor looked at that and he recognized, oh my goodness, I've created a monster. Because you know what was so crazy? When they asked these people if they were a committed Christian, almost 100% said, absolutely, I'm committed to Christ. How many know that's a problem? That's a problem. Here's what Bill Hybels said. I said all that to say this. Here's what Bill Hybels said. He said, I recognize our biggest problem in our church is almost everybody in our church, and everybody, almost everybody in our church, nobody fed themselves. Nobody fed themselves. I am not the main person that you should be getting fed from. I'm one of the main persons, okay, but I am not the main person you should be getting fed from. And you shouldn't, the main person you shouldn't be getting fed is somebody else. The main person who you should be getting your food from is yourself. Remember when you were little? You know, come on. It's an airplane. When did that happen? That happened when you were a baby, immature. You know what I mean? Half the time you'd spit it out. You know what I mean? Oh, we'll play this game. Watch this. Airplane coming back at you, mama. Right? Right? Okay. How do we do this rejoicing and hope? I'll tell you how you do it. Start to read your Bible every day. Start to feed yourself every day. Oh, and here's a good one. Okay, here's a good one. You ready? Listen to this. I'll tell a secret, okay? You want my preaching to get better. Somebody say impossible. set you up. Okay, no. Seriously. Okay. You want my preaching to get better? Start reading your Bible every day. Because here's the thing. You'll come in and you'll be so pumped. You'll be so spiritual. You'll start be thinking spiritual. And I'll say stuff and you'll go, whoa, that was so, our pastor was on fire. Okay. And yeah, pastor was on fire. But the truth is, you had ears to hear. How many know Jesus never was not on fire? You ever think Jesus had an off day when he taught? Yeah, he was always on fire. And yet, how many of those people don't know what he's talking? You know, it was okay. You know what I mean? I mean, you read the Gospels. There are all kind of people who had that attitude about Jesus' teaching. We are called to be just crazy hopeful of what's going to happen. That's our calling. That is loving without hypocrisy. And it never happens until we start putting that optimism of the Word of God in and in and in. I'm telling you what there is. It is, you know what? It's rivers of life. It's just going to be poured in, and you can just do it. You can just feed yourself every single day. Amen. Hallelujah. Wow, I am hoping to get through this passage sometime. All right, is it okay to go slow? Amen. Is that okay? Did you learn something? Father, thank you that we will take responsibility. We will not allow our feelings to dictate to us, but we are going to be purposeful to be filled with rejoicing, filled with hope, knowing that with you all things are possible, knowing that you go before us and make the crooked path straight. Oh, we just read that, didn't we? You go before us and make the crooked path straight. You make the rough things smooth. That's what you said in your word. You have a hope for us and a future for us. Father, we thank you that for what we learned tonight. We thank you that what we learned Sunday. We thank you that we're coming back Sunday and we are going to be on fire as we just put the word of God in tonight, tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, and we'll come and just rejoice together in what you're going to do in 2019. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen.